God's Mission Matters, a monthly podcast that will help you engage more faithfully and effectively in God's mission in the world.
The tip for this month, listen up.
Parables that matter, long-term mission workers telling stories about mission in their own words.
Listen to a story from Cobby Palm, mission co-worker in the Philippines since 1989.
We learn about mission in many different ways. I remember very early on in my time in the Philippines, as I was still understanding how mission works and does not work, I was invited to visit a church with the coordinator of the Mission and Evangelism Committee of the northern part of the Philippines. This area was close to the mountain ranges of the north. And part of the job that had been asked of me early on was to troubleshoot for some of the mission mistakes that are being made in the Philippines and to work with the mission worker and the community in reconciling some of these problems. And so the rainy season had now ended, and this was a plan of ours to go up and visit a church that was up in the mountains, and it had become known to everyone as the empty church. And our task was to go up and understand why is this church called the empty church and what had gone on. So with the mission and evangelism coordinator of that region, Mang Pio, we got together and got into this old jeep probably left by Douglas MacArthur in 1945, an old rusty jeep, and we were together and started heading up this rough dirt road into the mountains. And he turned to me and he said, "Cobby, what do you miss most about the United States?" And I said, "Well," I thought fast and I thought, "well, I miss the four seasons." And he said, "Oh, you will like it here in the Philippines because we have four seasons too." I said, "What are your four seasons?" And he said, "We have hot, hotter, wet, and wetter." And I thought, I'm going to like this guy. He's got some character. And we laughed together and we proceeded on. And we then made it a little bit further. And we came over then the crest of a mountain after some maybe 4 or 5 hours of driving. And I could see down in the valley a small community with nipa houses surrounded by rice terraces. And there was a white building in the center, a boxy white building. And so we went on down and got closer. And when we went on inside, I discovered inside the building, it was a beautiful church. The pews were there. There were Bibles. There were hymnals. There was altar table, there was a little sound system in place. I thought, this is really beautiful and well done. And so we then proceeded to talk with the members of the Council of Elders, which would be here, the session. And the question was going to be, why is this church empty? And different from our session where the responses come very quickly and everybody likes to talk a little bit, this group was very silent. And so the question is asked again, why is this empty? Can anybody explain? And so then one elderly man with a kind of a pipe, the long pipe that came out, said, "It's because the people of the lowland didn't listen to the people of the upland and stopped." And we thought, now what did this mean? And so we kept pursuing, and then as the story started to come out to us, what we understood was that the mission couple had lived down in the lowland, because the upland is very, very rural, and there's a city in the lowland which is about 3 hours away. And so they would be coming up, and this little church had been organized, and they then were able to generate some resources from outside of the country to finally build the church. But because they knew construction teams and hardware stores down in the lowland, they hired everybody to come up and to build the church up in the upland. And so as they began building and putting it together, they completed the whole church. And what we learned then was that in the traditional belief system of this ethnic community where the church was built, their belief system was that the hands that have built the house of God received the blessing of God. And since they were not part of building that church or had not even been allowed to hammer in one nail, their belief was that they would receive no blessing in this church. And so Monk Pio and I were just stunned as we heard this and began to understand what was going on, and we didn't have a solution to offer. But on the way down, as we drove back down, I'll never forget, Monk Pio said to me, "I guess, Kabi, the lesson here is if we want to do mission effectively, we better start with listening and asking questions and not start with our answers. That we need to listen and include the people that we're speaking to. We need to be receiving their questions and receiving some of their answers before we just jump at them with our answers." And this was a very important lesson to me in how to do mission, that we can't just go out there and start with our answers. We need to begin by listening to their questions and listening to their ideas and drawing it into the plan of what we're trying to do. And that is an important lesson that I've received in mission. My invitation to Presbyterians and all folks of faith is that relating with others and going out into the world is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it is so important for us to do that carefully with the sense of that biblical mandate that let's go. But go doesn't say preach or make or do, it says go first. And then once we have some understanding, once we have some ideas from the folks that we're with, let's begin to make. And let's make it with them. Let's make it based on their ideas and their concepts and their vision of what needs to be done.
The Presbyterian Hunger Program announces the publication of Just Eating, Practicing Our Faith at the Table, middle school version, a 5-part curriculum designed to help young people better understand the relationship between our faith and our food. To order or download a copy, visit pcusa.org/food.
Matters of the Word, the scripture teaching us valuable mission practices.
Sharon George, a Presbyterian Church USA mission worker in Brazil for 31 years, reflects on how Scripture teaches us to listen up. On a long dusty walk to Emmaus, on the first Easter afternoon, Jesus shows us the way to be church and to do mission, the mode and miracle of dialogue. It had been a full weekend for our Lord, to say the least. Jesus comes alongside two strangers engrossed in a heavy discussion. Mission begins by approaching people and accompanying them on their journey. Jesus demonstrates interest in their dialogue, in their concerns, in their agenda, and asks a question. What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? Being observant, he perceives their deep sadness and empathetically wants to understand it. In the Gospels, Jesus constantly engages in the dialogue of life, sharing the sorrows and joys of others. He also asks many questions. Cleophas replies, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Now, if you were Jesus, how would you have answered that question? No one knew the right answer better than Jesus. He was the main subject of all the events. He could have left them speechless, their mouths hanging open. However, rather than telling his story, rather than revealing his knowledge, rather than taking center stage and pointing to himself, Jesus simply asks another question. What things? Dialogue begins when we know how to ask good invitational questions rather than giving answers. Jesus invites them to share their understanding and experience of the events. He patiently and attentively listens and learns their personal interpretations of the story. They finish, and he still doesn't spurt out the right answers. With another question, he encourages them to think about their religious expectations and understandings in a new way. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? On this note, he reflectively shares a larger perspective that they all had in common, using the Hebrew Scriptures. At this point, their dialogue has become a theological exchange. When they reach the destination of the two travelers, Jesus still does not give them the concluding right answers. Rather, he's ready to go his way and leave them to reflect and draw on their own conclusions. However, the mutual exchange was so invigorating and challenging that they offer the gift of hospitality to Jesus. Many times he received gifts of sustenance, costly perfume, anointing, foot washing, and hospitality from others. Naturally, he accepts their invitation. In the intimate fellowship of friends breaking bread together, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They made their own discovery with no imposition, no hurry, no manipulation, no pressure, no correction, and no arrogance on Jesus's part, only mutual sharing, listening, reflecting, and learning. Why did Jesus leave at that point? He knew that his part was finished. It was time now for them to ponder all of this on their own, to be subjects of their own reactions and decisions. In mission, it is as important knowing when to exit as it is in knowing when to enter. The dialogue and discovery led the two disciples to an immediate decision and action. The good news gave them the energy to walk the 7 miles back to Jerusalem and share their experience. They were transformed into eager witnesses to the resurrection.
PCUSA's Young Adult Volunteer Program works with people aged 19 to 30 through year-long service and learning placements within the United States and abroad. Young adults serve in a variety of fields like church ministry, education, the environment, community development, and peace and reconciliation. The program helps them focus on vocational discernment, spiritual growth, simple living, and leadership development. The application deadline for the Young Adult Volunteer Program is January 20th. For more information, please visit www.pcusa.org/YAV. Short Mission Matters, people of God telling stories from their short-term mission experience.
Listen to a story from Kathy Sherman, mission initiator involved with a partnership between Giddings Lovejoy Presbytery and Plan Grande II, Nicaragua.
The Latin American Task Force of the Giddings Lovejoy Presbytery first visited the village of Plan Grande II, Nicaragua, in 2000, to assist in post-Hurricane Mitch reconstruction. For many of us, this was our first face-to-face experience with abject poverty. We saw people living in dirt-floored homes whose children couldn't attend school for lack of funds for their required uniforms. We fell in love with these humble peasants and left determined to help them improve their lives. A few months later, I spoke before a group of Presbyterian women. After viewing slides of those we met, together we hit upon what seemed like a brilliant solution to their impoverishment. We'd equip them to sew. We'd purchase sewing machines, fabric, notions, and before we knew it, our friends would be sewing their way out of poverty. Except we hadn't included Plan Grande II in this conversation. In fact, it occurred to none of us that our friends might not be the least bit interested in our project. We had simply looked at them perceived a need, and went about solving their problem not with them, but for them. With a rather smug sense of pride in our ingenuity, I emailed a Presbyterian mission coworker assigned to CPAD in Nicaragua, the PCUSA partner organization that facilitates our partnership. With a rather smug sense of our pride in our ingenuity, I emailed a Presbyterian mission coworker assigned to CPAD in Nicaragua, the PCUSA partner organization that facilitates our partnership. I was certain she'd share our enthusiasm. Imagine then, when my surprise, when her response was closer to a rebuke. How could we make plans for women in Plan Grande Dos without input from them? Had we given consideration to any practical matters, including the fact that the community had no electricity? And where would items of such value be stored? What would happen when they inevitably required repair? Furthermore, did the women of Plan Grande Dos even want to sew? The wind abruptly escaped my sails. I felt completely deflated. However, this created an opportunity for the first of many teachable moments. The mission coworker helped open a door for dialogue that paved the way for a partnership, not charity, but a meaningful way for us to share our lives and faith. We hadn't given our friends an opportunity to speak. We were ready to try to make their world more like ours without even attempting to listen to what they had to say. And when we did listen, what did we learn? That these humble peasants were very wise and resourceful people whose business acumen had been established long before we arrived. We learned that what they really wanted was for us to work alongside them to change structures that were making their lives difficult. We also learned that the women of Plan Grande Dos weren't the least bit interested in sewing. They were interested in something that would benefit their community at large for generations to come. Their vision far exceeded that of our limited horizon. In 2010, we celebrate 10 years of partnership, with CPAD helping us to interpret not only one another's language, but one another's cultures. We're hearing what our friends have to say about their lives. And likewise, they hear us. We tread carefully, knowing that because of our economic status, our partnership is inevitably lopsided, making it all the more important for us to hear with open hearts. We've learned a lot, and most of what we learned has come through listening.
You've just heard the stories of Cobby Palm and Kathy Sherman and how they learned to listen up. Tell us how you learned to listen up. Visit www.pcusa.org/missioncrossroads to post your story. And next time you engage in God's mission, remember to learn from the people who live in the place where you're serving by listening to them.
To support Cobby Palm and other PCUSA mission workers like him, visit www.pcusa.org/mission.
God's Mission Matters is a monthly podcast produced by Presbyterian World Mission, a ministry of the General Assembly Mission Council of the Presbyterian Church USA.